Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by... Well, actually, I want to start doing something new. We've got the standard members feed, and that's working kind of good. But I actually want to kind of lay it out for you guys. So if you go to otrwesterns.com/donate, again, otrwesterns.com/donate, you'll redirect you to what's called Patreon. It's a fairly new site, but they're doing a lot of wonders for artists similar to myself who's creating shows or music or whatever. Mine is for podcasts. There are a couple things that I want to actually get into. The first milestone, which is $5,000 a month, and the way Patreon works, let me get into that real quick, is you donate as much as you want. Right now, it's a dollar a month is the base that I have it set for, which with me doing about 9 shows a month gives it to be about 3 cents a show. So it's not actually that much money. So a dollar a month, and you can set the max that you want to donate or as little as you want to donate every month. So the main thing with the way Patreon works is I set goals. It kind of lets you know, when we hit these milestones, this is what's going to happen. It makes it accountable for me. It makes it accountable for you guys. So let me just run through what the different milestones are. If we hit $5,000 a month, I'm bringing in roughly $5,000. Patreon's a little weird, but roughly $5,000 a month. I will remove all intros, except for the one about Patreon, but I may just throw that at the end. It's possible. So we'll remove all ads. So in the beginning, it won't fluctuate from Dollar Shave Tree to Amazon to whatever. We will remove all that, which is a lot what the members get. The members don't get this intro. They won't even hear this, members. If we hit $10,000 a month, The Shadow. I will actually be releasing The Shadow. So I end up doing a 10th show on a weekly basis. And it will be mainly for those who are Patreons. But my eventual goal is that we'll have it out there for everybody. The Green Hornet is at $15,000 a month. Now you're thinking, wow, oh my God, $15,000. The server is expensive, and this costs me money. I'm not making money on this. Currently, it's actually extremely hard for me to some months pay for it. I mean, you guys do help, and the one-time donations help, you know, pay for a better server and stuff, but that costs monthly, and that's the big thing. And I don't want to be bugging you guys about money. To me, that's not what it's about. I give these shows out for free, because I'm not a big stickler on it. But in the same sense, it doesn't pay the bills. And I can't make money on it. And if I can't make money and not have to worry about things like paying for the server or paying for the website or trying to do more and better stuff, I can't continue doing it. It's really hard. I can't take the radio shows to the store and pay for, you know, food or gas or anything like that. So just trying to be straight up honest with you guys. At $25,000, I will be doing a YouTube series where I will be a show. I haven't decided which one. I kind of got an idea, but I'll be animating a show. I'm going to take the old time radio work that we have now with either the Lone Ranger or Challenge of the Yukon or who knows, getting it animated to fit the style and genre, but in animated form, and putting it out there for on YouTube. And who knows, maybe DVD, and it would be great to see it, you know, maybe even make it prime time or something. So that's what's going to happen at $25,000 a month. It sounds crazy, but that's only, you know, a couple hundred bucks, you know. It's only what, if we had, you know, 5,000, 25,000 people donating, you can see how that's like, you know, a dollar a month. From 25,000 people, I have 50,000 uniques right now. There's about 1,500 of you guys who listen on a regular basis. So, you know, if we grow and we get bigger, that's what this is for. At $50,000 a month, now you say, oh my God, that's a lot. It's not actually that much money, but this is the way Patreon works. I'll be creating an app. So actually, I know I've been promising this before, but it costs so much money to run the application. I've looked into it, and it's hard. I just can't. I can't do it, even with a little bit that I get from you guys. Those of you who have, you know, donated in the past, you know, originally I thought, hey, it's only cost me $100. I mean, it's not going to happen. It takes a lot of money to run these apps on a regular basis. So what I'd end up doing is I'd end up getting an iPhone created. Whether I have to go to a company and have them do it for me, that's what I would end up using that money for. It won't cost anybody anything, and I won't have advertisements inside the ads or inside the app. So it will be free for everyone. And my biggest thing is getting it free. So my big thing on this is, how much do you think each show is worth? And that's what you have to look at. Figure on 36 episodes a month. How much do you think it's worth? In the end, that's what it boils down to. You know, if you do 36 shows and you only think they're worth a nickel each, it's $1.80 a month. That is not a lot of money. You know, you figure if you buy them for 99 cents on iTunes, you know, if you were to buy each one like a song or treat it as a song, you know, yeah, you could spend $35 a month. But even at $5, that's only 14 cents. So how much do you think each show is worth? Right now, I have the bare minimum set to 3 cents a show. So, yeah, take a look, otrwesterns.com/donate. Anybody who donates will also get the membership feed. I'll set them all up personally and stuff. Plus, you know, at different milestones, I'm going to give you guys special episodes. So you actually might start getting the shadow if you're donating, you know, so much per month. I haven't decided that yet, but I want you guys to take a look. Send me feedback, otrwesterns.com, podcast at otrwesterns.com. Let me know what you guys think. I'm sorry for the long intro of this week's show, but I do want you guys to give me your feedback. I don't get a lot of feedback from people. I get a lot of likes on Facebook, but it's not growing the community. And I don't know, you know, I've been doing it for 4 years, and we're just not growing. We're kind of just holding steady. It may be because, you know, it's the Lone Ranger and it's, you know, other shows like that, that, you know, people aren't into Westerns like they used to be, and kind of disheartening. So, you know, I don't want to just drop them and switch to something that's going to get more people. I love the Westerns, and, you know, I look forward to listening to them every week. So let's get into today's episode. Again, sorry for this long intro. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be The Lone Ranger. Original air date's April 20th, 1942, and the title is Gambler's End. Hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
Horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. The stories of his strength and courage, his daring and resourcefulness, have come down to us through the generations, and nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! We're heading for the Missouri River. Hail, Silver! Hooray!
The moon was bright as the Lone Ranger and Tonto reined up on the banks of the upper Missouri. One of the great river boats, ablaze with light, was steaming past, and faintly, below the sound of the paddle wheels, the masked man and the Indian could hear music and singing on board.
That's a Davy Crockett, Kemosabe. Captain Weatherby's the skipper.
Ah.
It's a strange sight up here. 200 or 300 people, music and dancing on board. Nothing but forest on either side of the river.
You look, we'll head to this bank.
And the pilot knows his business. Maybe a sandbar in the middle.
Tonto think maybe them tie up here.
Yes, it's possible. The boat usually keep going when the moon's as bad as this, though. Yeah, but you're right. You see the men on the lower deck getting ready with the lines.
And this not good place to tie up. Plenty Indian around here. Not good Indian.
Looks like a fight going on.
What do you mean?
Near the gangplank. We'll ride a little closer and find out what it's about. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
The steamboat slowly steamed into the wooded cove. Then the engines were cut as she nosed the bank. Near the gangplank on the lower deck, Captain Weatherby stood beside two young men, well-dressed in frock coats and flowered waistcoats. They were objecting strenuously, but the captain cut them short with a gesture as he turned to the deck crew.
Hey, pass those lines!
Aye, aye, skipper!
Now down with the gangplank!
Aye, aye, sir! There you are, gents. This is where you get off.
You can't do this to us, Captain.
Can't I? I can do anything I want aboard my own boat.
That forest out there. How are we going to find our way through it?
Follow the river.
We haven't any horses. And what about Indians?
Now look, Captain, listen to reason.
The rule is that there's no gambling on the Davy Crockett. The sign's posted all over.
All right, we'll give you our word that it won't happen again.
There's only one way I can be sure of that.
Well, we gave back the money we won.
Yes, and I gave you back your passage money, all of it. I get moving down that gangplank, or I'll have the boys give you a lift.
Captain, what's the
matter? For the last time!
Come on, Greg, we have no choice.
Oh, well... We've been in worse spots. I'm ready.
This will be a lesson to every professional gambler on the river. From now on, they'll steer clear of the Davy Crockett. Stand by to cast off, men!
Men start to walk now.
Yes, Kimosabe. Captain wasn't as hard on them as he pretended to be. Parish Landing is less than 2 miles up the river.
That place where woodcutters live.
Bill Parish and his brother Ed. They have plenty of horses, and those gamblers can buy some.
Maybe them wait for next boat.
There won't be another one heading upstream for a week. I think they'll buy horses.
Maybe so.
We'll follow them, Tonto. Not close enough to be seen. Just in case there are Indians around. Come on, Silver.
Get them up, Scout.
Two young gamblers found only one of the Parish brothers at the landing, but he gladly offered them a bed for the night. In the morning, they woke up to find breakfast ready on the table, and after they had eaten, their host sold them 2 horses and all the supplies they needed. When the transaction was completed...
Here they are, gents. They're rolling in the bay, all saddled, ready to go.
What do we owe you?
2 horses, 2 saddles, supplies... $350.
What about putting us up last night? Aren't you going to charge for that?
Yeah, I should say not. That was a pleasure. With Ed up at Fort Benton, it gets mighty lonely around here. I was glad to have your company.
$350, you say?
And here's my half.
Here's mine. Oh, look. Deck of cards.
You carry your own?
Well, usually. But they don't belong in my pocket.
Say, I've got an idea. Do you like to take a chance, Bill?
Sometimes.
What do you say we cut for the horses? Double or nothing?
I'd like to take a chance, all right.
Fine, fine. Shuffle the cards, Silver.
Wait a minute. Somehow I don't think there'd be much chance connected with that deal.
What do you mean?
Just what I said. I'll be satisfied with the 350.
Listen, mister, if you're accusing
me... I didn't say a word. But maybe you'd better take a look at this note.
Where'd you get this?
Somebody slipped it under the door during the night.
Who wrote it?
How should I know?
What's it say?
Don't gamble with your guests. You lose.
What the...
It sounds like a friendly warning to me. So if you don't mind...
Here's your money.
Thanks.
Who wrote that?
We'll find out. Get up there, boy.
Get up.
Adios.
Bill had suggested that instead of following the banks of the winding river, they take the forest trail. So Greg and Silk headed straight west. The trail was wide, but the great trees met overhead, and even at noon they rode through shadows. Silk became a little worried.
You think we've made a mistake?
How?
By not sticking to the river.
You heard what Perry said. This trail through the forest saves us a couple of 100 miles, and there's no chance of missing it. It's practically a road. Lots of travel. The wagon tracks we've been following couldn't have been made any later than yesterday. Might have been today.
Even so, Greg, the forest is awfully thick around here.
And Parrish had to admit there were Indians.
Well, our horses are good. If we can't outshoot them, we can outrun them.
Maybe. I only wish we'd stick to here.
Whoa, whoa there, whoa. That shot wasn't far away.
You're telling me.
More of them, though.
Maybe the wagon's just up ahead of us. One of the men could have taken a shot at a deer.
Yeah, that's it. No, it isn't. Well, which way do we ride? Do we hit the back trail, or do we ride and see what it's about?
I'll flip a coin. Call it.
Heads we go on, tails we play it safe.
It's tails.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on anyway.
Keno.
Get up there. Come on, Ed. Get up.
Ahead of them on the trail, a covered wagon had been pulled up. On the seat were a middle-aged woman and a 16-year-old boy. Both of them were tense, waiting, searching the tangled forest. The boy held a rifle ready for action.
What about it, Jimmy? Do you see any sign of him?
No more.
I wonder if you hit him.
Oh, I don't think so. He didn't let out any yell.
Maybe you shouldn't have fired.
I had to. He meant business. Just look at that arrow sticking in the side of the wagon.
We should have listened to what they told us back at Plainsville.
Well, we'd have had to wait a month for a wagon train.
Just the same.
Oh, don't get nervous, Ma. After all, there was only one engine. What do you say we drive on?
Listen.
I hear them. Horses.
They'll be coming around that bend in minutes.
Yeah.
Is it the engines?
Well, I don't think so. They keep back in the trees, and from the sound of those hoofbeats, I'd say the horses were shod. Most engines...
There they are.
Why, a couple of travelers like us. Howdy.
Hello there. Whoa, 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 whoa. You heard shooting, anything wrong?
Well, Jimmy saw an engine back in the trees. He shot that arrow at us.
Well, that's bad. If there's one engine, there's apt to be a lot more.
We'd sure appreciate it if you was to ride away with us, mister.
Indeed we would. I'm Martha Winton. This is my son, Jimmy. We're on our way to the diggings at Alder to meet my husband.
Howdy, ma'am.
Howdy. I'll flip, Greg.
We'll keep you company, ma'am. But heads we go on, tails we turn back to Plainsville.
It's tails.
Well, we don't want to turn back.
There's a long trail ahead of us.
All right, then. Whip up your horses, son. We'll ride along beside you.
Get ready to shoot. Here comes an engine now.
There's a masked man with him.
Put down those guns.
Put on your light.
Oh. He shot the gun right out of his hand.
Steady, Silver, steady. We aren't outlaws, we're friends.
You listen to what masked friends say.
There's a band of 20 Indians half a mile away. They're getting ready to attack.
Golly.
There's no chance to stand them off here. But if we can make the hill beyond the next ride, we'll have some cover.
Their cave inside a hill.
It's large enough to drive the horses and wagon inside.
You lead the way, mister.
Come on, then.
Get up there. Come on, get up.
The little party reached the cave just in time. No sooner had the men taken their positions behind the rocks at the entrance than the war party burst through the cover of the forest and raced toward them. The savages were armed for the most part with bows and arrows. Only a few had rifles, and the deadly fire from the cave's opening drove them back, broke their courage, and sent them down the trail in full retreat. When Jimmy had driven the wagon out on the trail once more, the Lone Ranger drew the two gamblers aside.
I hope you're going to ride on with Mrs. Winton and her son.
Yes, I guess we will.
Yeah, I'm glad. The time you got to Alder, you may have learned something.
What's that?
It might even change your way of making a living.
What are you driving at?
Yeah. Just what's wrong with the way we make our living?
You're gamblers.
How do you know?
Well, from the way you're dressed, for one thing. For another, Tonto and I watched you get off the Davy Crockett below Parrish Landing.
You were there?
And this must be the army that left the note with Bill.
That's right. I did.
You got a lot of nerve.
We're much obliged for the help you gave us just now, but nobody's going to call us crooked and get away with it.
I didn't do that.
Not exactly, but
wouldn't Bill Parrish have lost if he had gambled with you?
He might have. That don't say that we
would... The two of you working together, you'd have been more than a match for him. That's certain.
All right, it's our business. What about it?
Is it only money you're after?
That's part of it.
Seems mighty funny to me that a masked man can look down on a gambler. We don't break the law anyway.
Neither do I. I'll let Greg finish answering my question. Money's only part of your reason. What's the rest of it?
Excitement.
I thought so. You've had some excitement today.
Yeah, we liked it, too.
I know you did. Don't you feel a lot better than if you'd won the Wintons' outfit by playing poker with young Jimmy?
Say, what do you take us for?
Yeah,
there wouldn't have been much difference between him and Bill Parrish.
Now, look here, mister. We're riding with Mrs. Winton and Jimmy, and we're seeing to it that they get to Alder safe. We're not the kind of coyotes that'll take advantage of people like them.
If I don't think there was some good in you, I wouldn't have wasted my time with you.
Huh?
You're both young and strong. You're the kind of men the West needs. Not if you stick to gambling. Hoping you'll find out there's a lot more satisfaction and a lot more excitement in playing a different game.
What?
Fighting to make a place for yourself out here. Working to build the West.
Messman, Tonto just told me who you are.
What did he?
He's the Lone Ranger.
A Lone Ranger?
That's right. We're sure proud to meet up with you. But Tonto says you're going to ride on ahead.
We'll make sure the trail's safe.
And if it is, you'll keep on to the diggings?
That's our plan now.
Well, naturally, we'll take a lot longer with the wagon. I was just wondering if you'd stop at my husband's cabin and tell him we'll be there in a few days.
We'll be glad to.
And tell him you left us safe. And that we won't have any trouble with Greg and Silk keeping us company.
I'll tell him that, too, said the big fella. Think over what I've said, men. Ready, Tonto?
Be ready.
Come on, Silver.
Get him up. Come
along. Hi, Maskman.
Ready, Silver. Easy going.
Oh, fella. Come on.
Let's see. Here it is. The name on the stake is Ben Winton, Tonto. This must be his cabin.
It's nearly midnight.
We deliver our message and then make camp beyond the gulch.
Who's there?
Friend!
Here. You can come in a minute.
Something strange about his voice, Kemosabe. I'm going to take a look in the window.
What him do with that gun?
Big Tonto, we got to break in.
Oh, I'll get out of here. Let go of my arm. You can't stop me.
Kemosabe!
I've killed him.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
To continue our story. When the Lone Ranger and Tonto broke into Ben Winton's cabin, the miner had a gun in his hand. Quickly, the masked man reached for it, but before he could twist it out of his grasp, Ben pressed the trigger.
Kemosabe, where bullet hit you?
It's just my arm, Tonto. It's only a scratch.
Let me take a look. I'm glad. I didn't mean to shoot.
You didn't mean to shoot me, but you were going to use that gun.
What if I was?
I want to know why.
Wound not bad. This due for bandage till we get to camp.
Why, Ben?
You'll get nothing from me. You're wearing a mask. You're holding a gun on me. All right, go ahead and shoot.
The only reason I'm holding this gun is to keep it away from you. What's that letter on the table?
You can't read that.
I'll have to.
Get out of here.
You'll not talk like that. This Lone Ranger, him try to help you.
The Lone Ranger?
Huh.
Oh, it's no use. Nobody can help me.
Now, what's the matter with you helping yourself? I don't see why you wanted to gamble away a good claim, but if you've lost this one, why don't you stake another? Quick, Tonto.
Tonto, catch him.
Here, lower him into that chair.
I put him down here.
You don't have to answer. You aren't well enough to go on prospecting.
I'm done for. What difference does it make how I cash in my chips? My wife and boy are coming up here. There's still money enough in the bank to get them back home. I can't face him.
You aren't a coward.
I never have been till now. I wrote him so much about my claim, though. They'll expect so much, and there's nothing left.
Why didn't you think of them before you gambled?
I haven't been able to work for a couple of months. It was just to get a little ready money to fix the place up. I started to lose, and I kept on getting in deeper and deeper, until I couldn't quit.
Who owns your claim now?
Ace Harding. I've got to be off the land by the end of the week.
Tonto, what do you think?
Him not die.
You hear that, Ben?
This fever. Tonto make medicine. Make him well in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks?
Now, do you feel any different?
Oh, sure, if he means it. If he isn't just trying
to... He means it. He wouldn't say it if he didn't.
Then I can work again. I can make a living from Martha and Jimmy.
Of course you can.
Better him go to bed now.
All right, Kemosabe. We're going to stay here, Ben, and take care of you until your wife arrives.
I don't know exactly when that'll be.
We have a message from them. They should be here the day after tomorrow. Perhaps then...
Then what?
I have an idea, Ben. We may be able to do something about your claim.
It was not until the Winton family was reunited that the Lone Ranger spoke of the claim again. But this time, it was not to Ben. He and Tonto and Greg and Silk were unloading the wagon at the rear of the cabin.
Have you decided what you're going to do, Greg?
We're going to rent a cabin in town.
Near the cafes?
Just for a while.
We thought we might try our hand at prospecting.
That would be good news.
Miss Winton told us how much money Ben's making on his claim.
Was making.
Yeah, I mean, till he took sick. We can do half as well. It's better than poker.
Greg, did you ever hear of a man named Ace Harding?
Ace Harding?
Why, that polecat.
If you judge all gamblers by him, no wonder you don't have a good opinion of the breed.
Is he crooked?
He's a hound's hind leg.
Why are you asking about him?
Well, he's the man who owns this claim. He won it from Ben last week at poker.
Huh?
He cheated him out of it, you can bet on that.
You think you two are a match for Ace?
I should smile.
We know all his crooked tricks backward and forward. He steers clear of any game we're in.
Kemosabe.
Yes, Toto?
There's a boy at corner of cabin. Maybe him hear you.
I'll talk to you two in town tomorrow night. Come on, Jimmy. Lend a hand with these supplies.
The following night, Ace Harding stood at the bar in the Golden Nugget Cafe and called for drinks for the house.
Sit on up! Drinks are on me! It's Ace Harding that's buying, boys! Step up and quench your thirst!
You're Ace Harding.
None other, sonny. The one and only Ace. There ain't a man in the gold country can stand up to me. I got blast and powder in both my fists. I don't give no odds to a grizzly, and what's more...
What's more, you're a crook and a cheat.
What's that?
You cheated my part of his claim, you gotta give it back.
Who are you?
I'm Jimmy Winton, you cheated my paw.
Who let this youngin' in here to plague me?
You're a crook.
You shut your mouth.
I won't. I'm not as scared of you.
Then I'll shut it for you. Pick him up. Drag him out of here and hurry up with those drinks.
At that moment, the Lone Ranger and Tonto swung into the saddle and gave their great horses free rein. They left their well-hidden camp behind and raced toward the town where they'd promised to meet Silk and Greg. But a mile from the outskirts, they saw a slight figure riding toward them. As they drew closer, the Lone Ranger recognized him.
Hello, that's Jimmy Winton up ahead.
That right?
Rein up, Jimmy. Oh. Easy, boy, easy. Woo.
Howdy, masked man.
What are you doing so far from home at this time of night?
I've been into town.
Oh, what for?
I had some business to take care of.
You've been crying, Jimmy.
No, I haven't.
Your jaw. What's happened to it?
I don't care. He's bigger than I am now. But just wait till I grow up, then I'll show him.
Who are you talking about?
Ace Harding. I told him he was a crook.
And did he hit you?
Oh, I don't care. I'll show him.
Ace Harding can't wait until you grow up to be shown. Now you go straight home.
Yes, sir. Get up there. Get up.
Otto. You know where Greg and Silk are staying?
Time to show you.
We'll stop there first, and we're going after Ace. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
On, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode into town. At a sign from the Indian, they swung to the left at one of the cross streets and pulled their horses to a sliding stop in front of the third cabin from the corner. In a flash, the masked man was out of the saddle and knocking at the door. Greg opened it. There was a hurried conference. And then, once more, the Lone Ranger was in the saddle. This time, he rode alone, back to the main street, straight down it till he reached the Golden Nugget Cafe. His feet were on the ground before Silver had stopped completely. Up the steps and across the porch. A moment later, inside the cafe...
Up with your hands, all of you.
Hey,
Ace Harding.
What do you want?
Come here.
Joe, you going to stand by and do nothing when a hold-up man walks into your place?
Come here, Harding.
No, don't shoot. I'm coming.
Take it fast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Now, out the door.
Where are you taking me?
You'll find that out soon enough. Move.
This is my own cabin.
Just walk right in. Keep going.
Where? What's the idea?
You'll find some friends waiting for you in the next room.
Friends? Look, you can't get away with this.
Here he is, men.
Silk and Greg.
Howdy, Ace.
You're just in time for a little poker.
Draw up a chair.
Yeah, I don't want to. You can't.
Can't what?
All right, I'll play.
That's better. Otto, you now wait out in the front room. Gentlemen, we leave you to your game. Now, before we sit down, Tonto, we just lock the door.
Kimosabe, you awake?
Yes, Tonto.
It'd be morning one more hour.
I know. The game's lasted a long time.
You tell Greg Silk to play fair?
Yes, I did. They'll see to it that Ace does, too.
But maybe them not win.
They don't? Well, that's too bad. I still have a little score to settle with Ace, but...
Somebody knock on the door.
Let's see what they want. Well, Greg?
He won all Ace's money, but he wants to play some more.
They can't quit now. I got the deed to a claim in the drawer of this table. Look, I got a pen and ink here. I'm signing it over. And that makes it just as good as cash.
How much cash?
$10,000.
You only allowed Ben Winton $5,000 when he put it up.
All right, $5,000. You can't quit.
We won't, mister. Come on back.
Well, we wait some more, Tonto.
Him want to keep on, huh?
Yes. So did Ben. Sunrise, Kimosabe.
There come knock again.
Oh, let's hope.
Well, it's all over.
Is it?
Here, will you take this bill of sale? It's signed by Ace, but it isn't made out to anybody, so you can just hand it over to Ben. He wouldn't have to know how we got it.
That might be a good idea.
You could just say that Ace had a change of heart and decided to give it back.
I'll let the paper speak for itself. Now, what about you two?
Well, we got quite a lot of money. We thought maybe we'd buy a claim of our own.
Do it today.
Yeah. We're going to, only...
We don't know anything about mining.
You can learn.
Sure, especially if we had somebody to teach us. So we figured that Ben might let us work his claim for a while, until he got on his feet again.
If we worked at his place, he'd be close enough to give us his advice. You understand?
Yes. I understand.
I don't think you'll have any objections.
I'm sure he won't. Goodbye, Greg. Goodbye, Silk.
Oh, we're not leaving yet.
Well, why not?
Mainly because you're not.
Well, I just have a little business to settle with Ace.
He's right in the other room, still setting at the table.
We'll wait here for you.
Excuse me. Stand up, Ace.
Huh? What do you want now?
You're a big man. Most people seem to be afraid of you. Personally, I think you're yellow.
Why, you...
If you're not, why did you stop then? Let's try pretending that I'm Jimmy Winton. Oh, to help your courage.
You're a gunman.
There. My guns are on the table. Now listen closely. Jimmy said you were a crook.
That's a lie.
It's the truth. You're a crook and a coward.
I'll show you.
He missed. The masked man's like lightning.
Jimmy said someday he'd show you.
Why, you...
I'll take this with his compliments. Oh!
Knocked him out with one punch.
He's dead to the world.
Let's go, Tonto.
That good work, Kimosabe. Tonto ready.
Adios.
We'll be seeing you.
So long. Goodbye and good luck.
Bye.
Well, pick up that bucket of water.
Right.
Give it to him.
What the... What hit me?
He wants to know what hit him.
Mister, that was the Lone Ranger.
Thank you.
story you have just heard is a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated.
Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, OTRWesterns.com/Twitter. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Don't forget to rate this show on iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode's copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Hope you enjoy. Again, thanks for listening, and have a great day.